Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Even looking at my life from the outside in, you would think, oh, she does all this and kids and life and homeschool and travel.
Deborah Folletta on Focus on the Family Minute.
But I have set up so many boundaries because I know my human capacity. I know my limits. And what's been amazing is as I have pulled back from different things, as I have said, I can't do this. I could only do this much. I'm unable to do this. I have watched God take the small loaves and fish that I have and multiply it in ways that I could have never on my own. And it builds your faith because you know when you focus on the things that he's called you to do and you focus on staying healthy and honoring him in that way, he's like, I got the rest. I will take care of the rest.
More insights from Deborah on how to maximize your time and schedule at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles is proud to present Willie Nelson and Family. July 22nd, the California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles. New album, Dream Chaser, coming May 29th. Tickets on sale Friday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. at MidStateFair.com and Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Willie Nelson and Family live.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. There are some pretty big, pretty fast private yachts parked in New York docks these days. Some of them are staffed like hotels, large as houses. Some will do 60 miles an hour without breathing hard. George Harbaugh and Frank Samuelson had plenty of confidence in their privately owned pleasure vessel, so they decided to take her, boat had been christened the Fox, to take her from her slip at the New York Battery across the Atlantic Ocean to Port Le Havre, France. A transatlantic cruise in a pleasure craft. Well, they left the Battery on June 6th, stocked with enough food to feed hundreds. The skies were fair, the seas were calm. Thus began the vacation of a lifetime. But the fourth night out, George was awakened by a thump so powerful it shook the boat. He got up and peered over the starboard side and beheld the most monstrous shark he had ever seen. Now, we're talking jaws, really big. And he was ramming the vessel. George threw a wooden plank at the creature, hoping to frighten it. The shark ate it. The shark ate it. In fact, that same monster trailed the Fox for a day and a half before deciding there was nothing better to eat on board than board. More days passed. The fair weather turned foul, the wind first, the howling, merciless wind, and then the seas rolled and rose until the waves were Matterhorn high, the sort of water that mocks the stabilizers on the big ocean liners. And there were George and Frank on a jaunt to Le Havre, and suddenly the path before them was straight up and down. At first, they struggled against the storm, trying to hold their course. After a few hours, they just gave up and decided to ride it out. One mammoth wave actually washed some things overboard. It would take 2 days, 2 days for the wind and the sea to subside. And after they did, the Fox continued her voyage. And she arrived at Le Havre on August 7, was greeted by thousands. For you see, never before, and I mean not once in all history, had anybody done what George Harbaugh and Frank Samuelson had done. Purposely, I neglected to mention that in the midst of that ferocious Atlantic storm, when the huge wave washed some supplies over the side, both George and Frank went over the side with them. And they saved themselves only because they had tied ropes to their waists, with the other ends of those ropes tethered to the vessel itself, thus to pull themselves back to the relative safety of their craft, even though she, the intrepid Fox, could hardly have been considered safe under the circumstances or for her owner's intentions. You see, the Fox was a pleasure boat. The Fox was not even a yacht. For George and Frank, these two hardy Norwegian seamen, in that summer of 1896, succeeded in doing what not even their fiercest Viking ancestors would have attempted. They took a vessel without engine or sail. They took a craft only 18 feet long and 5 feet wide, and they traversed the great watery divide without seeing Valhalla first. They crossed the Atlantic. They crossed the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have Chris Bausch on the show. We're going to go over a number of things. I want to talk a little bit about, Chris Bausch is a councilman in Paso Robles, and you are in District
2.
And you will be, you haven't announced yet what you're going to be doing.
No, it's not campaign season yet. That won't happen until July 13th.
I've never seen this many early, the way people, I'll give you another example. You, and I don't dislike this person, I'm not putting them down, but Kara Blakeslee has announced 4 months ago she's going to run against Don Legg for Board of Supervisors in 2.5 years.
I guess there's a strategy in that. I have no idea what that strategy might be. I think get the primary done out of the way. There's so much work to be done right now. Just doing regular city council business. That's what I'm going to concentrate on for now.
I understand completely. And one of the things that is, as I was saying, is one of the big issues throughout the county, and this is not just Paso Robles, is budgets. They have to have a balanced budget when they pass their budget. I think it's in sometime in June. And as they move forward to balancing their budget, there's a lot of funding discussions and talks. And we had a very interesting SLO County Board of Supervisor meeting yesterday.
It got a little contentious. I wasn't there, but it got kind of crazy.
It was a little nasty, actually. And for those that don't know, our district attorney is a Republican who is passionate about law enforcement and believes that illegal immigrants violating laws need to be deported. And then there's others that believe you shouldn't even be arresting them because they could be deported. Bruce Gibson is a far-left progressive supervisor, and him and Dan do not agree on a lot of law enforcement issues. Over the last, I think, probably about 15 years, Dan Dow has been the district attorney and very pro-law and order. And him and Bruce Gibson have not gotten along for years. Now, remember, though, he got along very well with County Council Rita Neal, and they kept giving County Council's office big raises and more money and less money to the prosecutor's office. Then you had a period of time where they were having major budget shortfalls. So Dan, he cut 5 positions over the last several years, saved $3.5 million to the county. But meanwhile, they're getting more and more requirements for his staffing from the state. So You have state requirements on things that they are required to do. And there's also now, they have to do a lot to do with technology, digital evidence, body-worn camera footage, the case preparation has changed. And as a result of this, you have higher issues. You have more things needed with the county. I'm not going to get into it heavily, but Dan Dow said, you need to give more money to my department because I need these positions or I'm going to be violating the law. And if I have to, he gave a number of cases and basically said, if I have to, I'll have to file something. And he put him on notice, and Bruce Gibson got very angry. But we're going to stop that for a second because we have both lines open.
Okay.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Chris, I'm not going to press you on the idea of you running again in District 2. I'm in District 2, but anyways, I'll leave you alone there. But I do want to ask you a question about somebody who has announced that they're going to be running in District 2. One of the things that I read the other day in the paper was one of his priorities was to make the Montebello Oaks open space a permanent open space. The way I understand it, I believe the school district actually owns that property. I'm not sure if they own it all. And he didn't say anything about specific.
Let me catch up. The school district, and I can say this because I was on school board for 10 years. The school district owns about 10 acres up there at Cluck and Skyview. And there's back and forth on whether that should be housing for teachers, for example.
Right.
I think that would be a good use of that land. The city owns right adjacent to that, I believe it's about 12 acres. You could combine that and make a really nice site that Pascal's Housing Authority could use, for example, for workforce housing. Both for rental and or for ownership housing. I don't know.
That'd be great for the property values in that neighborhood.
Actually, it would. You're absolutely right.
Really?
Yep. There's studies for that. The rest of that space, and I actually proposed that to be open space, dedicated open space, kind of like a regional park concept that I grew up with in Southern California. I proposed that about 15 years ago when I first got on school board, and then again when I got on to city council. So I'm not sure which of the candidates you're referring to proposed that, but I would have to agree with that. I've already suggested that. I think it's a great idea. I don't. There's a lot of obstacles to making that happen. Land dedication, state issues, environmental issues. That would be a CEQA project, and so it is kind of tough to make that happen, but I applaud that idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for your input.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. Oops. That person is already gone.
You made him mad, Karen.
You can call back 805-238-5775. And part of the reason I brought up this argument with Dan Dow and him is because the state is requiring mandates. They have to fund it. I've seen that there are others. There is even police departments suing their cities for not getting the proper funding that is needed to follow mandates. Where is the budget with Paso Robles? How well are you doing? I know you have more hotels. You probably have more. You guys are doing good with TOT. You're doing good with sales tax. The property tax, you haven't lost like some other cities. How is the city's budget plan going now?
Let me answer that in kind of a two-part version. So we have 8 departments that our budget has to cover. We have the city manager's office. We have administrative services, police services, emergency and fire services, public works, community services, community development, and our utilities department. Those departments provide police and fire, obviously, streets, sidewalks, stormwater trails, traffic safety, municipal, we have a general aviation airport, our library, parks and recreation, the landfill, the water, wastewater, recycled water utilities.
But the utilities are covered by the ratepayers.
Hold on. Don't get ahead of me.
Yeah.
Private development, like permits and inspection. The refuse is contracted out. That's the only service that we don't own. We have a contract with Pastor Robles Waste, and they do a great job. So our 2026 budget for all of those, our general fund and all of our enterprise funds, that's what you're referring to, utilities, water, etc., about $337 million. We run a surplus, a modest surplus, and we have, we're in good shape. And I'll just let it go at that. And we're going through that budget development process now with resetting our council vision, council goals. And we look to be, if we're careful, if we're prudent, and it looks like we are being careful and prudent, we will continue to have a balanced budget.
And that's very good in this day and age. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi, Karen and Chris. This is Dorian. I'd like to raise concern about the way both the city of Paso Robles and the Paso Robles School District moved away from at-large elections a few years ago and divided voters into separate trustee and council districts.
Hi, Dorian. I don't think we moved away. I think we were forced away.
Yes.
You're talking about the lawsuit that was forced on.
Yeah, threat.
Yeah. I think it just to the audience, Dorian and I have talked about this in the past. Both of us agree that the school district should have fought that, and I believe the city could have fought that. The lawyer that was going up and down the state of California threatening to sue school districts, municipalities, that if they didn't form voting districts, he would sue them. But if the school district or the city settled for, well, I don't know, what was it, Dorian, $30,000, he would dismiss the lawsuit. So it was just kind of a
grab.
It was. It was a shakedown, I believe. What's the case that just went before the Supreme Court? That
Louisiana versus Calais?
Yes. And so we might all get to revisit that. We might not be running in districts anymore. We might be running in a general election. I don't know enough really to speak about that. But I believe that there's, in my case, the League of California Cities might want to come down with some legal advice. Certainly our own city attorney, BBK, might want to come back and give us some advice on whether or not it's worth revisiting that. I know it's very difficult to get people to try to run for office if you're limited to in a very small district. It's easier in a large, if you can draw from the entire city. There's pros and cons, certainly, for a district, but easier to get people to run if it's from a large pool.
And in larger cities, the argument is, for example, in San Luis Obispo, you had a group of people that all lived in the same neighborhood, all running the city council. And you had people saying, wait a minute, we don't have representation. That group has representation. The rest of the city does not. And there's that argument in some areas.
But if you look at how that's played out over time, guess what? It's the same type of people that run. They're usually older. They're usually retired, because those are the people that have the time to devote to running. I certainly fit that older category. I'm not retired. I'm not a professional politician. I have the means to afford working and devoting. I don't know, Dorian, how much time did you put into school board? You were there, and you read every agenda packet that came out, and there were sometimes 1,000 pages. How many hours did you spend a week?
Probably 20.
Right. And so I'm spending 20 to 30, sometimes 40 hours a week doing city council agendas when we have a meeting. Not many people can do that and a full-time job. So you kind of have to be retired.
Well, then the point isn't that they're retired. The point is it was a group of people that all hung out together.
But it's a demographic that can afford that. And I'm going to say luxury of time and money to run and be in politics.
Yeah. But the point of the matter was there were people on the outside that weren't politically connected to these people. And there was an argument that you have a group. It's a very partisan city, Slo is.
So, all right. Well, that's Slo. We don't really talk about Slo. This is Pastor Dorian. Are you politically connected? Do you consider yourself?
Well, maybe no. I'm not part of any group that's powerful.
And after this last couple of years as proof, I definitely consider myself a political outsider. I'm not sure that districts, there's pros and cons.
You might have it. And Dorian, is there anything else? I have another caller waiting.
Go ahead. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dorian, for calling in.
Okay.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Well, Chris, when they did the districting and passed Robles, there was a lot of talk about racial issues, despite the fact that I objected to the district, saying Kenny Parrish, who is a good friend of mine, who happens to be black, got elected at large. And I've raised that issue. Well, anyway.
Latinos get elected. We've had blacks get elected. So you're right, Gil. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Chris Babsh.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages were in rally mode as bond yields tumbled and oil prices fell, easing inflation fears. West Texas Intermediate crude hovered around $98 a barrel. Chip stocks leading today's rally ahead of NVIDIA's big earnings report after the closing bell. Shares of the AI darling rising over 1%. The release of its financial results will be a key test for the AI trade. The magnificent seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by Tesla, NVIDIA, and Amazon. Apple stock rose 1% for a record close. Airline stocks taking off with United and Delta leading the charge as the price of oil falls. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, United Health Group, Chevron, and Walmart. The Dow rising 645 points. The Nasdaq higher by 400. S&P 500 up 79. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
This Friday, May 22nd, it's the first concert of the summer at Vintage Community in Templeton featuring the Mark Adams Band.
Hey, I was out last night, started a fight, feeling bad this morning and looking aside. stumbling and a-bumming and feeling for the knob of my door.
The Mark Adams Band this Friday at Vintage Community, 690 Peterson Ranch Road, just up from the CHP. Concert is at 6:30, free and open to all ages. Bring a chair, a picnic, or buy food and drinks at the concert. The Mark Adams Band this Friday.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm talking to Chris Bausch about all things government. We're going over a number of different things. We were talking about the budgets. We were talking about where they're going. We were just talking about the idea that they made these districts and cities do the break into the voting blocks. Where this really caused harm was things like San Simeon, and you said Chandon, and they don't have enough people to run. San Simeon can't even, they have three people. They're being taken over by the county. It did not work. You can't ask a community of, you know, 250 voters to break into supervisor districts and think you're going to get anybody to run. I do think I've seen it in some areas where I think it's good to break it up, but most of them, no.
Right.
We're too small a community, and we don't have any. If you look at the racial diversity of our county, the only one that doesn't have a lot of racial diversity is the city of SLO. They just don't. The black population is, I think it's something like 1.5% of the community or 2%. And they have almost the exact same financial standing as white people. There isn't, the only group that's a little poorer than the rest is the Hispanic population, but there isn't a Hispanic neighborhood. So it kind of takes away from wanting to break things into communities, but still you had people saying you have one political group running the whole city. So it does kind of, would you like to see it go away in Paso?
I would not be upset if it went away. It would cost money. I think the only people that would stand to benefit would be the attorneys, and I think we spend too darn much money with attorneys already. So I wouldn't want it to go away for that reason. They'd want to put it to a vote, and that would cost money. So I have mixed feelings about whether it should stay or go away.
And I will tell you, that is, I had some people telling me from some of these districts that there were lawyers pushing them into doing it when they sure shouldn't have. And the lawyers are the ones that made the money.
Tell me about it. They make lots of money creating these districts. And you have to redo all of your bylaws. And I don't know if that's a regulation, a resolution or an ordinance. I don't recall, but all that has to be redone. And the lawyers get called in, and they get to make the money on it.
And one of the things, I want to get back to the budget.
Yeah.
On the budget, is there going to be more money for roads? Are you going to make them more of a priority? Because that's the biggest complaint I hear has to do with roads.
Well, we're going to spend just this year about $16 million just on Creston Road. So we've worked on Creston Road from River Road up to Rolling Hills, and now from Rolling Hills, put a roundabout in, and we'll go east to Niblick. That'll be phase two. Remember that we passed a second half-cent sales tax measure and in 24. I voted against that because I didn't want to, what they call, bond it. It didn't have a sunset clause on it, so that means you could go out and borrow against it. That would mean if we borrowed money, you would spend half of the money that it earned paying back in debt service. You'd pay interest on that bond. I did not want to do that. I would rather just collect the money, save it, and then use that money annually. To Ryan Cornell's credit and our staff, they figured out a way to design the road improvements save the money for a couple of years, about $5 to $6 million a year in sales tax revenue, and now apply that money. We have about the $16 to $20 million in the bank to spend on this road project. That's a brilliant solution without borrowing a nickel to do it. And all that money gets applied to the road instead of going out, floating a bond, and now having debt service on that bond. And that will continue now for years to come.
And where is this roundabout? I'm sorry, I don't know where Rolling Hills is. Where is this
Rolling
roundabout?
Rolling Hills, if you know where they call it the Williams Brothers Shopping Center, where I think it's Planet Fitness or the Smart and Final,
yes.
Over on Creston Road, kind of like where Golden Hills. Rolling Hills is right before that, before you get to the schools if you're heading westbound on Creston.
And is this to help the traffic during school time?
Correct.
And that is the biggest problem over there, I would say.
It is. It was the biggest problem. Now we're hearing complaints about. We put two stoplights in at Bolin and Walnut, and now traffic is backing up in the morning as well. So you do no good deed goes unpunished, and I think it those two stoplights fixed one problem. It may have created another. So I think the best hope for solution is that there is an ongoing project to synchronize the traffic lights throughout all of Paso Robles. That project is a massive project, requires a lot of computerization. That will eventually come about, and I think we'll see a really good improvement in traffic flow.
And so you'll know in the afternoons it needs to go quicker this way and in the evenings quicker this way or in the mornings?
The lights, as I understand it, the timing of the lights will stay greener longer in this direction if it senses a backup, that kind of thing. So, yes.
Oh, that's terrific. Is this an AI thing?
It's way above my pay grade, Karen. I'm not sure if it's AI or if it's... it's been around for a long time. Larger cities use it. Leslie Frazier, our new city engineer, brought this with her from Santa Clarita, and she's been amazing to work with as well.
I was literally reading about a company that does these AI sensors, and they're becoming more and more cities are using them. And now you just made it make sense. I know it's going to sound silly.
It's just above your pay grade too. So it's just.
But I found it very interesting. This is big. It has to do with AI
sure.
too.
Yes,
it's
yes,
smart it does. Technology that watches what's going on.
And can make real time adjustments. Yes.
And I think that's excellent. So the city is working on that.
Yes, and Niblick Bridge, we have lots of improvements there. We have improvements on the 24th Street Bridge. We have improvements on, somebody asked a question regarding the Gateway project, which is over on Highway 46 West. It's been an ongoing project for a developer. Our previous city council made a deal with the developer to realign South Vine Street. The city would pay for a bridge to connect a new alignment of South Vine Street. South Vine Street would move west to come out where the entrance into the Target Center is now. And so South Vine Street will ultimately align there, but we need a bridge to cross the creek that's also there. The developer is reassessing some financial realities with his business partners, with lenders, with the reality of the marketplace as far as timing. So that's an ongoing project. It's today is not the day to build anything in that arena. So it's on hiatus for the moment.
And there's going to be a lot of road work near the fairgrounds also, correct? The bridge is going to be redone there?
That's the 24th Street Bridge I just mentioned, yes.
Okay. So that will be, and for those that do not know, Spencer's Fresh Markets has made a lease agreement. They will be taking over the former, is it a Rite Aid?
Rite Aid.
And they are going to have a grocery store moving in there. It's probably going to be a few years out. But I think it takes a while to get everything in. But that used to be a grocery store. And interesting enough, I'm friends with the Spencers. And John was telling me that when he was a young man and first got into the grocery business, I can't remember if that was Williamson's or what it was, but that's the first store he worked at was the grocery store that was there. And he said, the stuff is there to make it a grocery store. I worked there.
Huh.
So it's kind of interesting. It's gone full circle, and he's going to be running a Spencer Markets out of that area.
Yeah, but that used to be a Williams Brothers market at one
yes.
time?
Yes.
The only Williams Brothers I remember, Julie and I got to Paso Robles in 1986, and the Williams Brothers is over where we were just talking about the Smart and Final over on Creston Road. That was the Williams Brothers that we used to go to.
Maybe well, it wasn't. I might be getting the name wrong. He just told me that was his first grocery store that he worked as a young man.
Huh.
Was and that we're talking probably, you know, a long time ago. But he said, I started there, and I know what's there.
So it's come full circle.
Yeah.
I love that about Paso Robles. It's just so many good stories, and people come back. And we're starting to see people come back. We have just an amazing future ahead of us. Both business-wise, people coming back to share their success, new businesses coming back here, people that want to grow their business or start a business here. It's going to happen.
Welcome to Sound Off. What do you want to ask Chris today?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that it was Lucky's years and years ago.
No, this is the one across. I know where Lucky's was up on Spring Street.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you guys were talking about.
You know, you're absolutely right, because I remember we used to go in there and salt the chickens for the St. Rose barbecue at that Lucky's.
Yeah.
But this is across the street where the Rite Aid was, across from where Flamson is now.
And I think it might have been, we're probably talking 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're not talking... John was just, I'm friends with John and Beatrice Spencer, and we were having dinner, and he was talking about that was the first grocery store that he ever worked at.
Right.
But I do remember that being a Lucky's, too, though, your store.
Yeah.
So that's on the northeast corner, and Lucky's was on the southwest corner.
Gotcha.
Good memory, yeah.
Well, my favorite store was Newberry's.
I remember Newberry's, too, over on 14th. Yeah.
Or, no.
Was that 14th? 14th?
No, it was actually where Planet Fitness is now. That's where Newberry's.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. Nice memories.
Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And we have a Trader Joe's coming in the off of that area. And then you just had a Miner's go in.
Creston Road.
Creston Road, right there by Smart and Final. There's now a Miner's Hardware where the drugstore used to be. It is very interesting. And I talk to business people throughout the county, and I've had business people from South County, people that live in San Luis Obispo, and they're telling me, you know, the growth is going to be in Paso. John Spencer's opening a store in the next probably month in Lompoc, and he's been working, he's opening two new, you know, he wants to open the one here and the one in Lompoc. And both of these areas are supposed to grow because of spaceports.
Well, I think that it is, the spaceport is a work in progress as well. We have an FAA license that we have to do for the airport. That's about a year away. And then the spaceport license can come in after that. But we have businesses that want to move here and start moving here because they know the spaceport's going to become a reality.
And all the businesses, all the drone businesses that are now located here, there is a lot of growth in Paso Robles. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Chris Bauch.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty. Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
Get ready for nonstop live entertainment at Tachi Palace. Grab your tickets now at TachiPalace.com and don't miss what's coming up. May 22nd, Jump, the ultimate Van Halen tribute. May 23rd, comedian Ralph Barbosa live. June 5th through 7th, the Indigenous Tattoo and Music Festival with the Res Made Car Show. And June 20th, Kings of the West, featuring Warren G, The Game, and Exhibit. All shows are on sale now, so don't wait. Tachi Palace, where all roads lead to fun.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Chris Bauch in the studio. Tomorrow I am going to have Eric Gorham. We're going to go over, there's so much political wildness right now. We're going to go over a lot of the political, there is so much going on right now. It's over the top. We're going to do that for a half an hour. Then we're going to have a vote them off the island. You can call in and vote off the person that you want to vote off. Please call in tomorrow. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi, I would like to ask Chris Bauch, what is happening with City Council chambers and the remodel? It's been a long time. We don't hear anything about it. What I hear is certainly a lot of complaints about being in the Norris room. It's not comfortable. It's a long way from the restrooms, et cetera. Where are we on that?
Well, great question. Here's what I have been told. First, there was a problem with the dais. The dais that was either ordered or ordered and delivered came back and it was straight. And no, if it had been installed, and I'm not positive that it was actually delivered, but it came in straight, so we would not be able to look at each other, and it would have made it difficult to create the video image that we needed to do. There were some issues with soundproofing the walls. The most recent situation that I've heard of was trenching for the cabling that they need. The cameras and the microphones are going to be, I believe the term is self-attenuating. In other words, if the mayor is speaking, the camera will know to turn on and focus on the mayor. If I start to speak, the camera will then shift and turn towards me. My microphone will turn on. There weren't enough places to make that work, so there had to be a trench cut in the floor. That's a cement floor. It had to be saw cut, cleaned out, and new cabling. I'm told that we were supposed to be in there as of last night from the original estimate. Then it got pushed back to June, and now I understand it might not be until August.
Oh, so we're close enough that it could be in a couple of months that will be happening.
Jan, every time I say that, it gets pushed back. So don't quote me on that. I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. Well, my whole purpose for this question is that everything the government does, whether it's, you know, city, county, or state, just takes forever to get done. So it's kind of like I wish they had put it in the hands of independent contractors and they'd have gone in and gotten it done right away. But, you know, we do what we do and award contracts and get bids and take forever and cost a lot more money.
Let me share this with you. The gentleman that's in charge of this, he's I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last 4 years. He has worked really hard to keep this on track and under budget. A lot of the issues that he faces with all kinds of projects, both at Sherwood, at Robbins Field, it has to do, believe it or not, with insurance. Contractors that don't understand the insurance requirements that you have to deal with in order to do business with the city. And the contractors think they have it, and when they deliver the insurance certificate, it's incorrect. You have to start over, and they've already got the contract, and now you have to go back and get a new insurance certificate. That's just one issue. I think the project will be very nice when it's all said and done. I have a lot of confidence in Dwayne, and I think it'll get you'll like it when it's finally done.
Well, I hope so, because it's, you know, it will just make it a lot nicer for the people attending in person. Not so much for us, you know, who are on the YouTube, but in person it will be a lot nicer for people.
I think you're going to like it at home, too. The camera and the audio will be much, much better.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. We have a text message. It was a Safeway store at 24th and Spring.
Okay.
So that is interesting. Thank you very much for giving us that.
Learn something new every day.
I knew that he had told me, but I couldn't remember. It was probably about a year ago when he was first making bids on the property, and he told me that he didn't get it, and he thought I'm just going to sit and wait, and then he did get the property
when the Rite Aid
went out of business. Yeah, oh. when the, they they had discussed taking over the lease earlier, but the price wasn't what they wanted. And he said, I'm just going to sit back and wait. And he got it.
I'm glad we saw that mystery. I didn't know there was a Safeway up there. That was long before my time.
Yes, I think it's going to be nice to have a Spencer Markets there. I think this is going to be a great place.
Competition is a wonderful thing.
And I think it'll be good for the entire neighborhood.
Yes.
Because I pass by there when I go to the radio station. And sometimes it seems like about every third time I drive by there, there's police arresting someone in the parking lot. I think it would be better with a store there.
Yeah. I used to have a business around the corner from there on Riverside. And when we first arrived, it was a dangerous corner. It got cleaned up. We worked really hard to get Oak Park cleaned up and to get the fairgrounds cleaned up. There's a lot of people that worked hard to make that happen. So onward and upward, just keep making it better.
And I do want to point out, we were talking a lot about Warren Frace.
Yes.
Warren Frace has he was with Atascadero. He is known he has got a good reputation for working in cities. And he's a community development director here, correct?
Yes.
And he does, I've heard very good things about him from people that have had to deal with him in the past. So I think he's got a good reputation.
Great reputation, phenomenal institutional memory. I think his staff look up to him. He's respectful of both the community and the people that work for him, that he works with. And I know he certainly commands the respect of city council.
And is there anything coming up? What are you guys doing for 4th of July? Is there anything you'd like to bring up, updates for the cities?
Well, 4th of July, as you know, is the 250th anniversary. We're sponsoring, or we need sponsorships for our annual celebration at Barney Schwartz Park. So if you've been to our celebration in the past, this will be bigger and better than ever. But we definitely need sponsorships. Any amount is greatly appreciated. You know, 10, 25, up to 5,000 on up. Please send whatever you can. Would really help.
Do you need volunteers also?
We need volunteers also. You can Google the City of Paso Robles July 4th celebration. You can go on to the city's website and search, but definitely need volunteers as well. Thank you. We have a North River Road multi-purpose trail project. We're doing a survey for that. I think that's still open. There's a QR code on the website, on the city website, prcity.com. Feedback will help shape the trail design. And it will also support grant funding for the community project. The pickleball complex out on Scott Street, I believe we're waiting on PG&E to provide permanent power to the site. I believe that's the only thing that we're still waiting on.
Will you ever put water back in the Dragon? I've had people ask me about the there's a Dragon at the park that used to be a water.
Used to be a mister.
A mister, and people wonder if it's ever going back on.
I think the little tubing, from what I understand, the tubing that went to the Dragon's nostrils that provided the mist, I think that's permanently clogged. So I don't know. That's a hard question, Karen. Don't ask me those hard questions.
It's odd, the things people ask the media.
That's a good question. What else? Our homelessness dashboard, that has proved to be very popular. Our homeless service managers, Ashley Hernandez, did a great job of tying together all kinds of known facts, arcane facts, and put them together. So if you're interested in that, please take a look and avail yourself of that, both local and out of area.
Thank you very much for coming on the show today. It was very informative.
Great to be here. Thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.